Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
That you control. 603-283-6160 is the number for you to call in and talk about whatever you want. It's up to you. It's an open phone show. Free Talk Live. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Nikki.
And for the first, at least, segment, I'm not going to be taking any other calls because I do have normally we don't do guests on this show, but the show is an open phones call, and we have a guest named Mark Passio on to talk about his upcoming event. Mark, tell us a little bit about Two Masks, Same Face, the Occult Origins of Nazism and Communism.
Well, I just want to say thank you for letting me come onto the program and help to promote the event. This is an event that I have had planned for maybe about 5 to 6 years. I've been working on researching the content of this upcoming all-day presentation, and I'm finally going to be delivering the presentation this Saturday, October 21st, at the Exton Hotel and Conference Center. The presentation is entitled Two Masks, Same Face, The Dark Occult Origins of Nazism and Communism. And it's going to be at the Exton Hotel and Conference Center in Exton, Pennsylvania. We still have invitations available for the event. It's a $60 private donation if you would like to attend in person. It is an in-person event, not an online event, and it will not be streamed on the internet. We will be recording it for later release. But you can still get invites at my website at whatonearthishappening.com, and you can also attend in person. Walk-ins are welcome in person on the day of the event because invites are still available.
So a lot of people might be confused or scoff at you if they hear you say, oh, the same force or religion or entity or group is behind Nazism and communism. Oh, those are totally different things. What do you say to those people?
I say that they significantly lack a whole lot of information that they have not been yet privy to, that they have not yet researched, that they have not discovered. I would say that they do not have the grammar in place for the discovery of an accurate conclusion regarding that. In the process of truth discovery, it's a three-step process. This is known historically as the trivium, and this is something that I teach in the body of my work at whatonearthishappening.com. Most people are operating without the very basic building blocks that they require to discover what is true, or to be able to determine what is not true, what is false, what is misinformation. And basically, people don't have those building blocks of information. They have been either hidden from them, or people in their ignorance and thinking that they currently know all the information that they need to know willfully ignore the information that is present in their midst and do not gather that grammar, put it all together to be able to analyze it in the second step of the trivium process, and come to an accurate, logical understanding of what all of that information means, and then in the third step, actually take action based upon the truthfulness of the information that they have gathered, and then weaned through and weeded out all of the logical inconsistencies of. So this is the true scientific methodology that almost everybody in the world, number one, doesn't know how it works, number two, doesn't have that process in hand and isn't actively using it in the course of their everyday lives to determine what's true or not. And quite frankly, it's what sets the body of my work significantly apart from other people's work. And people can scoff all that they want. You know, the truth remains the truth regardless of what anybody's personal opinions or perceptions of the truth happens to be. There is still an objective, discernible, knowable truth that exists independently of human perception. And that's a huge body of my work, that there is objective truth. You know, to think otherwise is to fall into the modern cult of postmodernism, which is actually a big part of what I'm going to be talking about on Saturday, because postmodernism plays into specifically the communist ideology. And, of course, the Nazis were an early advocate of it because they wanted to make truth whatever they said it was in their society. So I'm going to talk about the commonalities of both of these forms of totalitarianism. And really, the only thing that's truly different about the way that they went about implementing their totalitarian regime is whether they work within national religiosity within one country, or whether they wanted to conquer social institutions and cultural institutions and spread in an international fashion. National socialism did the former, and international socialism or communism did the latter.
I think that this work is great, and I wish that more people were coming at research from this perspective that you have, because it seems like when people are kind of researching things or learning about things, they're almost blindly trusting the experts, right? Mm-hmm. And I even think that a lot of the times, scientists and whoever, people that are conducting their own research and, you know, doing their own case studies, a lot of it is... just like confirming their own point. Like it seems very rare that people are trying to get to the heart of the truth, the real truth, their own personal beliefs aside. And you know, it's a very difficult thing, right? Because we all have our own biases. And you know, if I'm trying to research something, like, you kind of have that outcome that you want in the back of your head, right? And it's hard to get past that and just...
Especially if you're thinking with emotions and...
Yeah, which most people are, I'm assuming. Yep. And you see that all the time nowadays, where you have, like, government-funded research, and people are like, no, this is the science. And it's like, okay, but it's... That's not... Like, how do we know that that's the truth?
And then you have funded their research.
Exactly. So, like, you have the people who clearly want a specific outcome funding the research or even doing the research. And to me, like, it's difficult for me to trust that science. But then if you dig deeper into it, like a lot of the, you know, COVID stuff and even what Mark is talking about here, if you try to dig deeper into it, you're a conspiracy theorist. Yeah. And, oh, you think you know more than doctors and you think you know more than scientists. This person has a doctorate. This person, you know, has way more experience than you. Like, how dare you question the narrative? So you kind of get ostracized and shamed. But for me personally, the truth is more important than anyone's perception of me, and I'm not willing to live a lie just to conform and just to, like, go along to get along with the rest of society. That's not worth it for me, and I think the truth is more important than that, and, like, living an authentic life is more important than that. So I think this work is absolutely great, and I wish more people would come at research from this perspective.
I think most people are scared of having an internal awakening within themselves. They just want to be told what to think, and everyone around them needs to also think the same thing. So they surround themselves with everybody else in their little echo chambers. And if you dissent from it, blocked, unfriended, I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Oh, yeah.
We have wildly different views. And instead of talking to each other and learning from each other, let's just shut each other out. Because it's scary.
Yeah. And that's definitely coming from this idea Mark has that there is an objective reality that we can look at and learn what it is. And other people think, oh, I have my truth, you have your truth, we just can't coexist because of the fact that my truth is different than your truth. When in reality, there should be everyone trying to get to the bottom of what the truth is independently from you or anyone else. So, Mark, why do you think it's important specifically for people to learn this truth now about Nazism and communism? Isn't that, you know, playing the devil's advocate? Isn't that, you know, years ago?
Well, I make the specific point in the presentation that this is all still actively occurring. We never ideologically defeated the underlying mindsets of Nazism and communism. They're still very much present in the world today, and they work through authoritarian institutions like government. You know, one of the things that was just unpacked there in the discussion, and very profoundly and correctly so, is the idea of people's confirmation bias. And imagine how much money is involved in that whole process of what we laughingly call science today.
Yep.
To confirm the biases of these institutional bodies that act as authoritarians and say that they have, a stranglehold on what is true and what information is allowed to be put out there and even discussed. It's not even just a psychological confirmation bias. It's completely backed up by the amount of money that is used in, government-related science, all working on grant money. You know, I mean, just imagine how much people have invested there, where they don't want to put out anything that is in opposition to the establishment narrative, because they can lose their entire livelihood. You know, and one of the things that I talk about is that, we have to get past this idea of trying to think and reason with our emotions. That was also discussed, previously. You know, this is the idea that truth is somehow contingent upon how we feel about information. Our feelings have zero to do with whether something is factually true or not. We cannot gauge the veracity of information upon how it makes us feel internally in our bodies or in our mindset. And part of becoming a mature, rational adult is trying to set aside those feelings of being triggered, you know, of having our worldview challenged, and making the true, genuine effort to truly think and reason logically outside of our emotional reactions. It's actually one of the caveats or warnings that I give at the very beginning of this presentation, as I do most of my presentations, because I'm a very straight shooter. I don't mince my words. I just say what I feel, and I tell people, if you're offended by it, that isn't my problem, that's your problem. You know, so I have this sort of little bit of a caustic approach to my presentations, because I think the truth is caustic. The truth is just straight out there and in people's face, and if they cannot acknowledge it and admit it for what it is, that isn't the universe's problem. That isn't the truth's problem. That's their problem, and that's what they need to do, work upon themselves to move past that mentation. But one of the things that I really think that triggers people, and the people cannot get past, they cannot accept, they won't look into on their own, they don't want to study, they don't want to research into it, is the entire world and realm of the occult, of occultism. And people get triggered by the very word occult.
Well, what is it?
By the word itself.
What is it, Mark? And do you have any, like, how did you gain your knowledge about the occult? Is it firsthand knowledge?
It is firsthand knowledge. I was actively involved in what I call dark occult organizations or dark occult societies. And many years in my past, decades into my past, I had to go through a long dark night of the soul and an intense crisis of conscience in my youth, where once I really deeply realized at a fundamental level, these are people actively engaged in the enslavement of humankind. They want tyranny and enslavement. They want to be the masters of our world, and they want us to be their slaves. And that's ultimately what it boils down to. And they do this work through occultism, through occult knowledge. And the word occult should not be scoffed at. It should not be looked at as some quaint religious notion, nor should it be looked at as something that is to be so feared that we can't even talk about it or discuss it or research into it. The word occult simply means hidden. That's all it ever has meant. That's all it means today. That's all it will ever mean. It means information or knowledge that has not been readily accessible or widely available to the general public. It is intended for specific initiated audiences. It is intended for people who are on the inside. For people who are on the outside of that, those groups, they are not to receive that knowledge. It is to be left out of their purview. It is to be not looked into by them. It's for certain people, and it's not for other people. At least that's the way that occultists have traditionally looked at occult knowledge. It is hidden for a reason, because the people who are leveraging this knowledge against the people who are ignorant of it are doing so to try to form a power differential over the ignorant masses of humanity. And that's what occultism has been used to do. We have to stop looking at it in religious terms, and we have to start looking at it in terms that the truly seen, the occult really means deep, ancient psychological knowledge of how the human psyche works and how the human psyche can be manipulated by those who know a huge amount about how it works versus those who know nothing about human psychology. So if you have a master psychologist who knows everything there is to know about psychology in every aspect, and then you have a person who knows nothing about how the mind works, certainly knows nothing about how they themselves work and how their own psyche works, and that master psychologist wants to do an absolute manipulation game, to conduct a manipulation program against somebody who knows nothing about how their own mind works, it would be child's play. It would be absolutely nothing for them to go off and do a number psychologically on that person if they had reasons to do so. That is how we have to look at occult knowledge. That's how we have to look at those who wield it. Occultists are people who have deep and ancient knowledge about how the mind works, and the average ignorant masses of humanity know nothing about how their own minds work, and they could be easily manipulated, and a power differential can be created over the ignorant by the occultists of the world, like child's play. It's literally a child's game to them. It's barely a challenge.
And I would say that is just a great, pretty short explanation of what the occult is, because a lot of people, when they hear this kind of talk, they just think, oh, you're talking about quote-unquote the Illuminati. That's just
something. Yeah, it sounds a little like woo-woo to some people, right?
Right, but if you explain it the way he did, it's just knowledge about the self, it's ancient psychology, then I think people might start to be able to open up to understand, maybe there are things I don't understand, other people understand. It's not just like, oh, some witches in the forest are like putting spells on us. It's not just, oh, they're pouring stuff out of, I believe they're doing something with chemtrails, but I don't know. I was going to say, they're not just pouring some kind of dust on us and controlling us that way. It's a pretty easy to understand and to recognize and see type of influence that someone could be putting on the masses.
Yeah, and I think just in general, like in regards to everything, it is very naive to believe that, like, oh, I know all the answers, and I don't know, that's just always been, it feels so naive to me, and to not at least open your mind to things right. That are hard to believe and listen to somebody else's experience.
You are so far more likely to encounter occultists in Fortune 500 companies, government organizations, government-connected think tanks, financial institutions, medical institutions, law, science, technology, in every one of these institutional bodies than you are to find them in a group of, crazy acolytes like going out in the middle of the woods and playing death metal and sacrificing animals. That's not what the modern occult is. You know, this is Hollywoodized and religious interpretations of what occultism is. Occultism is deep ancient psychology combined with deep knowledge of how the laws of nature and the real laws of science really function in our reality. And that has been hidden from the average person as a mechanism to control them. Power, once it is converted, knowledge, once it is converted into the ability to take action, is then converted into power. So that knowledge is what is used as the power differential over people. And what I'm going to be explaining in this upcoming presentation on Saturday is all of the occult organizations that actually led to the formation of both Nazism and communism. And they share all common ideologies. Their ideologies are almost identical in what they believed, in how they viewed the world, and how they viewed people, and in what they ultimately wanted to do to, in their terms, in their mentation, to transform society. And this is not something of the past. This is not something that happened past tense and is gone forever. This is something that happened yet is continuing to occur. They are continuing to leverage this knowledge. They are continuing to create new organizations and ideologies by which they hold thrall over all of humanity. The occult mentalities that led to the formation of both Nazism and communism were never defeated. They were never uprooted. They were never exposed, and they certainly were never defeated.
Well, so people, they can go to whatonearthishappening.com and then go to the gift section and give a $60 private donation to go to your event where you're going to be talking about this. But what else would you want them to know about your work, just What on Earth is Happening in general?
I would want them to understand that what I do differently than other researchers and presenters in this whole field of endeavor is I do not focus upon the 3D everyday events that people see and respond to in a completely reactionary fashion. I set those things largely aside, and what I look at and what I explored is the deep and fundamental underlying psychological causes for the way that people behave. You will never, ever, ever change reality for the better by only focusing on the symptoms and the things that are already manifested because of the way people already have been thinking and continue to think. You will only ever change things for the better by getting down to the underlying root psychological causes of why people think and behave the way that they do. And reality has to be changed in the external domain, the way that things play out in our everyday world, by changing the internal domain, the realm of human thought.
Well, we're going on to
the
break.
If you want to explore that,
yeah, if you wanted
check
to
out What on Earth is Happening.
Okay. If you wanted to stay on, you could. We're just going to have a four-minute break. If you guys want to check out his website, whatonearthishappening.com, and that presentation sounds fascinating, and it's happening on October 21st in Exton, Pennsylvania at the Exton Hotel. More coming up, people.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. A large group of anti-Israel protesters occupied the U.S. Capitol Rotunda today. Protesters demanding and calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. The U.S. Capitol Police made multiple arrests. Joran Vandersloot confessed to killing Natalie Holloway after she rejected his advances. Natalie's mother, Beth, is both shocked and relieved by that admission.
After 18 years, Natalie's case solved. As far as I'm concerned, it's over.
Vandersloot was extradited from Peru to the U.S. to face charges of wire fraud and extortion. Families tapped into pandemic savings for live events and parks, sparking funflation. Americans were projected to spend about $95 billion this year on spectator amusements like movies, live shows, and sporting events, a 2% increase from last year and 12.5% surge from 2019. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims, and we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Radio that you control, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and
Nikki.
And we were just having a really fascinating conversation with Mark Passio from whatonearthishappening.com. Unfortunately, he didn't have any more time, so we're going to be going on to you guys' calls. But if you have anything you want to talk to us about, anything he brought up, you can go ahead and do that. He was calling to promote his upcoming event on Saturday, and you can learn more about that on his website. But now we're going on to more calls from you, and it's we have Dave Ridley. So, Dave, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hey, most people don't know who I am, so I guess I should call myself Dave in New Hampshire at least.
Oh, did I just
Dave
say
from
Dave?
Ridley Report.
Sorry.
You said
yeah,
Dave Ridley. Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know, Dave. I think people know who you are.
Definitely common enough caller, but yes, Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com.
So, no, I was calling about something else, but yeah, with regard to your guest, you know, in a sense, like that call sort of represents in some ways what's great about the Free State movement is that you've got a guy who's calling in complaining about the occult, and maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong, I don't know. But he's calling into a show that has a co-host who's a Satanist, right? And he's still allowed through because we're supposed to have a big tent of free speech, right?
Yeah, but I don't really think that the kind of Satanist Arya is into, which is like her religion, is really the same thing as what he's talking about. And he gets all into it if you go listen to his podcast on whatonearthishappening.com and go to the podcast tab. It starts at podcast number one from 2010, and he just starts from the basics and builds you up. And he's basically putting you through, like, an occult initiation of your own so you can just understand all the stuff that he's learned over the years. And he's not really just talking about, like, oh, people like Arya who believe in the seven tenets of Satanism.
Well, yeah. You know, I do agree with the sentiment of what Dave is saying. Like, it doesn't matter what you believe in. Like, we all have different beliefs, and a lot of our callers have different beliefs. And we do like to be a platform for people of different opinions and whatnot and different beliefs.
Free speech.
And then, but I also wanted to make a point about, like, Satanism. Satanism is actually kind of, I don't even want to call it, like, close, but there, I can draw a lot of similarities between a lot of what Mark Passio is talking about and Satanism, because a lot of Satanism is about truth and freedom and, like, getting to the heart of what the real truth of nature and existence is.
Yeah, especially the exoteric religion is like what is presented to the public. That's what Arya is. You know, and I don't think Mark usually uses the word Satanist. He's usually just saying the occult, because it could be under any guy.
Yeah.
There are occultists probably in your Christian churches, you know?
Yeah, like, probably.
And
yeah, absolutely.
What are they hiding at the Vatican? You know?
Yeah, talk about a cult.
Yeah. So, Dave.
Yeah, that was one of the questions I was going to ask him if he had still been on, is like what his position was about Arya, you know, what she does, you know, being a Satanist, if he's against that or whatnot. I only heard the last, you know, 10 minutes of his conversation, so you guys may have addressed that earlier.
Well, I can't really answer that for him, so I don't think he said anything about, I mean, he didn't say anything about Arya, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have a big tent, right? You go to Fort Porkfest, and there's not exactly a large number of Satanists there, but there are Satanists at the same festival as evangelical Christians, and there's not a big problem. So that's an interesting, that's about as wide a divergence as you can get. In my mind, maybe there's wider ones out there, but it proves that people can get along.
Yeah, and actually Mark Passio was there, and so was Arya, so, yep, it does prove that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was calling about Aaron Day's political candidacy, which my look at your archives indicated you guys hadn't talked about him much recently, maybe since March, maybe I missed something, but he's a free stater. I think, to my knowledge, he is the first free stater who's mounting a serious Republican candidacy for presidency.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but I would bet it. I would bet that's true, because I haven't really heard stories of anyone else doing it.
He was on like a Saturday.
Yeah, and I guess his big thing, he's trying to keep it pretty simple, and it's just two things, basically. He's focused on trying to stop central bank digital currencies by drawing attention to them.
Right.
And he's also trying to take the Erica Chenoweth approach, where she said if he can get 3% of a population to do a thing, then your movement is sort of guaranteed success.
Yeah, and in his case it's donations. So he says even if you just donate a dollar, like, it helps him possibly get on the ballot. Is that what you're talking about?
No, everybody does that. What he's asking people to do is more edgy, and it's sort of like he calls it a bank run, but I think it's a little softer. It's a little softer than that. It's more like just getting people to gradually withdraw their money from banks and return it into cryptocurrency. So he's trying to get 3% of people to pull their money out of banks, not on a particular day where it would cause a collapse or anything like that. But just to get them to pull their money out. And, you know, I mean, I've pulled almost all my money out of my bank account many times, I think, already. So I'm sure it'll happen again sooner or later. But he does have a simple message, if that makes any sense. And he does have a track record of some success.
Yeah, the thing I really like about Aaron Day is every time I call him or tweet on Twitter, something like, no presidential candidate is here to save you. They're not. This isn't the solution, you know. He always says, I agree. By the way, I'm running for president, because his whole thing is basically he's doing it for to bring attention to his ideas. It's not like he necessarily thinks he's going to win. It's more just that gives you a huge platform. As soon as you start running for president, you can get people to interview you. And he has a lot of really interesting ideas. He has a book out. I think it's probably just Aaron Day 2024, something like that. His website. I could probably pull it up while I'm sitting here. But have you read his book, Ridley?
No, and I didn't even know he was running until today. I was listening to Porkfest speeches, and I just saw a speech from, you know, what, 4 or 5 months ago, or maybe 3 months ago, where he gave a speech or something like that. And, oh, my gosh, I hadn't thought about this. So I guess I'll probably vote for him in the primary, because there's no pure libertarian running on the Republican ticket, no one even close to Ron Paul. So I think Aaron is probably what I'm stuck with, and that's probably not too bad. He's getting something else right, but I'm sorry, you were saying something?
No, I think Nikki just laughed.
No, yeah, it was funny, like, the way you phrased that. You're like, oh, this is, you know, the best we got. But I also appreciate how, you know, like, what Bonnie was saying, how Aaron would, like, how Bonnie's like, okay, yeah, no politician, no presidential candidate is going to save you. Like, take responsibility for your own life. I like it when my friends that are either, like, running, you know, in any sort of election, either seriously or as a joke, I appreciate it when people can, like, put their ego aside and be like, yeah, you're totally right.
Yeah.
You know, like, it makes me respect them more, because sometimes people, like, if they are, maybe they've been a state rep, you know, for a while, to not feel like attacked by a statement like that, and to still be able to recognize that it is true, because I think that makes the difference between our state reps that are good and that are still, like, you know, fully liberty leaning and, like, voting correctly, you know, in my opinion, of course, that's, you know, an opinion, versus the people who are getting a little too into the politics and are like, well, you know, I can't vote for this because I want to get reelected. Like, they're getting sucked in. Yeah, they're getting sucked in to the game versus, like, keeping their principles and, like, I don't care if I get reelected. Like, what is the point of getting reelected if I'm not actually going to make a difference and do what I believe in?
And just vote no for everything that would cause people more money. And, you know, that's what they should be in there doing. If you're not voting to end the war on drugs, Leah Cushman, you're not an actual, like, libertarian, you know, pretending to be a Republican. You're just a Republican. And what's the point of, like, free staters putting everything behind someone like that? There's tons of other ones.
I don't think she claims to be a libertarian, right?
She claims to be a free stater and a libertarian.
Well,
and
she says she's like a conservatarian, right?
Okay, well, that's not even a word. So
well, that's like being a conservative, right?
But that's what I think. That's not what they think.
Oh, I thought that was, like, how she describes herself. It's like a conservative.
I've heard her call herself a libertarian and a free stater.
I think people are kind of confused about what... And
exactly.
You know what? Maybe there is, you know, a broad spectrum of what a libertarian is. But I think probably if you're a conservative, that is different.
If you're not voting to end the war on drugs, I don't even think...
Well, that's a very conservative stance, right?
Exactly.
Conservatives don't like drugs.
Right, and I don't think that
makes
her a libertarian at all.
I agree with you. So those are different things.
And I'm not just trying to make this all a conversation about how Leah Cushman is just a Republican and not a libertarian.
Oh, there's plenty of state reps that are calling themselves free staters and libertarians that are conservatives.
Yeah.
Or voting conservatively.
Right.
You know?
And I don't think, like, oh, I should move to a state in the north where basically it just ends up being exactly like Texas or Alabama because, well, we just thought, well, the right is better than the left. How about neither? And if you get in office, use that as an opportunity to get rid of the system as much as possible from the inside. That's what Jay Noon was going to run, or was running on, but he didn't win his election. What do you think, Ridley? Do you think that's the main purpose of running for, you know, any kind of office?
Well, first I should clarify. I didn't mean to be dismissive of his candidacy. It's not that there's anything wrong with him. It's just it's sad for me that this is not as big a deal as the Ron Paul candidacy, right? Because Ron Paul, you know, came in second in New Hampshire primary, right? And I don't think we're going to get a result like that for Aaron Day. it's just not as big a campaign. But he is successful in a couple of other ways, and that is, like, first of all, he's the one that knocked Kelly Ayotte out of her Senate seat because she was too authoritarian, and he ran against her as a spoiler. On the Libertarian Party
ticket.
That's
nice. She's like a cop lover.
I think that was useful. I think it got the GOP's attention. They were losing their mind over what he did.
Wow.
So I think that probably has, you know, it's been a reminder to them that they can't ignore the Liberty vote and just throw an authoritarian candidate at us. The other thing that he's hitting on a good cylinder, I think, is he has this concept that you've got to strike the root of a problem, you know, just go to the heart of the problem. And I don't know if he's got the right, I don't know if he's picking the right root of the problem. But just by focusing on the central bank digital currencies, that's probably good. At least he has a plan and a solution and a suggested course of action. He's hitting on quite a few cylinders there. So that's what I like about it.
So I found his website. It's Day, his last name, Day, 2024.com, and his little insignia thing here, it's a heart, and the outside of it says, Bank Run Now. The inside says, Halt CBDC, Stop World War III, and the Fed. So those are some pretty good, you know, roots to strike at, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, his belief is that if you stop the CBDC, we will stop a lot of fighting. I don't know exactly how that works, but it's basically, you know, the CBDCs make it too easy for the government to create money and control people.
He did write a book about it, so if you go to day2024.com, you might be able to find his book. Ian read it and found it, you know, really fascinating, and I think it's called The Bank Run Manifesto as well. Anything else, Ridley?
Well, you know, there's another thing. Like, if we were to assume that he's not a very strong candidate, then that means that every vote for him is actually more powerful. Like, if you vote for the number two candidate or something like that, your vote is just lost in a sea of votes. But if you vote for someone who's only going to get 6% in the primary or 10% in the primary, that actually your vote goes further. I don't like the idea of waiting around just for someone to be Ron Paul before voting for him. At least I'm just glad we've got a Liberty candidate I can vote for in the GOP primary.
Yeah, and not, you know, feel like guilty about it, right? Because that's a lot of the reason why I don't vote, especially in the presidential election. Is because it's like, well, what's the point? I hate both of these people. So it's nice that there is somebody you can vote for that it's like, yeah, you know, I agree with the majority of what he's saying. And if, you know, if he was the president of the United States, he might actually make a significant difference, or at least try to.
Right. Instead of choosing between this guy wants to put these people in a cage. This guy wants to put those people in a cage. Which one do I pick?
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I also like how you said, Dave, like, because everybody's like, oh, if you vote for a third-party candidate, I don't want to say everybody, like, but, you know, the majority of people, you know, like, you know, people I know, a lot of, like, the statists would be like, oh, well, if you vote for a third-party candidate, that's a wasted vote. You either have to vote for scumbag A or scumbag B, or else your vote is wasted. I love reframing it as, well, if you don't vote for those, like, it's almost a wasted vote if you vote for one of those people, because really, like, does your vote matter in a sea of millions of votes?
Right.
Hundreds of millions of votes? I mean, probably not.
All those people who are saying, well, I have to vote for A or B because otherwise it's wasted. If they voted for C, maybe it wouldn't be wasted anymore, in their opinion.
Yeah.
Maybe it would actually make a difference.
Yeah, if people actually grew a pair and did what they actually believed in.
We would
live in a different place instead of voting for the lesser of two evils.
Or the one that has a chance to win. I always found that was so weird.
Yeah.
It's like, wouldn't they have
a chance to win
if more people voted for them?
Yeah, right.
My adult, like, 50-year-old boss, when I was 20, the first year I was able to vote, told me that I was acting like a child if I didn't vote for Donald Trump in Utah. Where
and the shaming.
Work. Yeah.
Like, what's up with the shaming, too? There's so much shaming where, like, if you don't vote, you can't complain. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
I can vote and complain. I cannot vote and complain.
Right. I'm probably not going to vote this year, honestly, but like
I'm not registered anymore, but
in 2016, I wanted to vote for Gary Johnson, and I don't know why I had shared that with like my bosses. And seriously, I was like, I was actually like bullied by these people, like these grown adults.
Yeah, especially like a lot of like of the boomer generation. It's like, right. How dare you even defy?
This is Gen X, I think.
But I like from my experience, like a lot, it seems like a lot of like the older generations are like, you can't do anything
outside
differently.
The norm, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, how dare you even, like, this is how it is, and, like, who are you to think that you are allowed to have control of your life? It's really cringy.
Especially when they're going to die sooner, and I don't know, I always think it's weird, like, one day I knocked on the door of a lady in Maine when I was trying to get people to vote for some candidate for Young Americans for Liberty. This is in 2020. And this woman, her answer, I had to ask them, like, what's the most important topic or whatever, like, that you're worried about this election season? Like, and there was a list of things like, I don't know, taxes raising up and things like that. And she said, honey, I don't care about that stuff at all anymore because I'm just old now. I think it's up to the younger people to figure out these problems, and I'm not going to be here very much longer, so I don't think it should be up to me. And I was just like, kind of true.
Yeah, but that's all the people that are making the laws. And
yeah, I wish everybody and, you know, all the elderly people in Congress or whatever, I wish they thought that way, too.
Me too.
Instead of living in 60 years ago when they were relevant, and they're bringing all of that into now. Like, your outlook isn't relevant anymore.
Yeah, the Babylon Bee or, like, fake news network made a post that was, like, family deciding whether to put grandfather on hospice or have him run for Senate.
Oh, my.
And that was, like, probably the most accurate thing I've ever heard.
And it's not like I think we should decide those people's lives. None of us here think that. I just want to be clear for the radio listeners. We should be running older people's lives. What we really want is for us to all be running our own lives. And it's just kind of a funny thought when you think about a lot of older people trying to tell younger people how to vote. And, you know, basically that is trying to run other people's lives, which is why I don't think any of us on the show do it. Well, at least I don't in the national election. I vote in the local election because it's something that seems more like you could change things. And actual libertarians run as Republicans in New Hampshire, which is why Aaron Day is here. He came here for the Free State Project, and he's actually running for president. And you can check out more about him at day2024.com. Anything else for us, Ridley?
Well, if you think about it, you know, if you vote for a candidate and they win, you become responsible for everything they do, and you'll have to live it down for the rest of your life.
I don't really think so. Do you?
Yeah, I think so. I've voted for bad candidates in the past, and I feel ashamed for it to this day.
I mean, I feel bad sometimes when I think about the fact I voted for Trump, partially because of the fact I was literally bullied into it with the stuff I was just explaining. It also was, like, kind of tricked. I started seeing all the stuff about how bad Hillary is and, like, if Trump doesn't win, then, you know, the country is going to be, like, Sharia law.
Yeah, all the fear-mongering.
And, I mean, martial law is what I would say.
Yeah.
Just all this crazy stuff. So I ended up voting for Trump. But I don't feel responsible for everything he ever did because human beings are responsible for everything they do. You know, I don't...
Yeah. I also don't love that, like, guilt. I think it's important, you know, on, like, an emotional and a spiritual level to, like, release a lot of, like, self-guilt of, like, anything, even if it was your fault of things in the past, and also, like, releasing responsibility of other people's actions. You know what I mean? Like,
I disagree. Sorry. She was shaking her head.
I just don't think that anyone's vote actually matters. Whoever they want to be the president is going to be the president. So don't feel bad about it.
That is a good point. I think that most of the time that it doesn't actually matter and that they just choose a president based on whoever
like, they draw out of a hat or whatever.
And that's why I just can't possibly...
me and Stu call it WWE. What's on the season of WWE?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, because like none of it's real.
Right, none of it's real.
It really looks like one of those guys. Like, it'd be like an old guy, you know.
Yeah,
like
WrestleMania or whatever.
I think he did that before.
We have Donald Trump versus Hulk Hogan.
Right, yeah.
I think he did do that before, actually. It's starting to sound familiar. Like, he did one of those really fake wrestling things. He just looks like one of those guys. But most of the time, that's what I think. That like, whenever people try to say Trump is obviously, like, trying to save the country because, look, they didn't want him. The media was against him. They didn't want him. I think that that's just kind of what, quote unquote, they want you to believe. And for whatever reason, he served a purpose to them, and he was the one that they chose. Like, I don't think he was, like, some kind of really good president, and we were, like, lucky to not have Hillary. I think that they chose him, and it's all just some kind of like a ritual game. I don't know.
It's predetermined. You know, yeah. I believe that as well. I mean, either way, maybe your vote matters, maybe it doesn't.
The media is against all of them, depending on which media you read, because it's WWE, and it's like the faces and the heels, and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, which team are you voting for?
That is a good point. Like, in... Christian TV, it was all like, God is telling me, and he told me in a dream last night that we have to vote for Trump. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, on God TV, that's a real channel.
Called God TV?
Yeah.
I thought you were just calling it that.
No, there is a channel called God TV, but
I don't think we have that up here.
I haven't had cable for a while. This is like something that you could get anywhere. It has.
Oh,
like,
really? Okay.
The 700 so, Club. It's like old people. One of them died last year, and they give like the news. Well, there's just like all kinds of televangelists on this channel. But
and they were
just
like,
God TV either.
You have to vote for Donald Trump.
Yes.
God told me. Jesus Christ came to me last night and said to vote for Donald Trump.
Buy a MAGA hat.
They will really say stuff like, God wants to help the United States, but we have to keep praying, and we have to keep praying for Donald Trump to win because bad things are going to happen if Hillary wins. I'm not even joking at all. It's terrible. So, like, what you said, depending on what media you're looking at, it's
even
not
God
just,
TV
like,
is political. I mean, this is... You would think that religion would be not political.
Which was a thing,
right?
Religion's totally political.
Yeah.
Well, they're the first politics that you learn as a little kid.
Actually, yeah, that's a great point.
I agree that it is political whether they want to say it is or not, but when I was a kid, it was so much more of a faux pas or whatever for a preacher to talk about who you should vote for. And I was talking about this with a friend in Keene who is Christian, and he said ever since Trump, it was the first time when it was just like, oh, we're going to talk about...
Yeah, it seems inappropriate.
It is inappropriate. I never heard that in church growing up. You need to vote for George Bush.
But
I didn't hear
also,
that.
You weren't supposed to talk about who you were voting for at Thanksgiving.
Hmm.
You know, and now it's like your Facebook profile. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
things have changed a little bit,
Civil War-ish. What do you think? 603-283-6160. Did God tell you to vote for Trump? 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.